Blog Talk Radio.
You were tuned in to Mind Blowing Decisions with DJ Success every Wednesday at facesofsuccessradio.com.
Good evening, everyone. It is your girl, Nye, representing for Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. Tonight, we are a part of, you already know, Mind-Blowing Decisions, giving you advice on love, life, relationships, and so much more. Tonight is part two of our show from last week, The Telltale Signs of Rape and Molestation. So we have our ladies in the studio. I'm going to cue them in so they can give themselves an introduction. Go ahead, ladies.
Hello, what's up? This is
One at a time. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Latrice, representing the West Coast.
Hey, Latrice. Hey, Ma. This is Nishan, everybody. I am just here and ready for this show.
All right, everyone. We're going to have Miss P in a little bit later on in the show. But as I said before, the telltale signs of rape and molestation. Now, last week we covered a lot of ground as far as our personal experiences, seeing certain things as far as being in the eyes of the media. And one of the things I wanted to bring up myself were I did a little bit of digging and research. For warning signs in young children, physical warning signs of being sexually assaulted or molestation. So one of the few things they said that behavioral signs, sexual behavior that is inappropriate for someone of that age, bedwetting or soiling the bed, even if the child has outgrown the behavior, not wanting to be left alone with certain people or being afraid to be away from primary caregivers, parents, grandparents, and et cetera, and trying to avoid removing clothing or changing for bathing. Now, these are some things that I have seen in a lot of cases. A lot of times, young kids, they're confused or that they're scared. They don't really understand what exactly just happened to them or what happened to them. So these are just a few more signs. But emotionally, they say excessive talking about or knowledge of sexual topics, resuming behaviors that are a little bit grown out of, like thumb sucking, things of that sort, nightmares and fears of being alone at night, and excessive worriness and fearfulness. What are some signs that you see, Latrice?
Accidents, constant accidents, bedwetting at night.
Okay. And do you know somebody or have you seen a child that is surviving or has been through the abuse?
No, a child that's been through it.
Oh, wow. Okay. We've got another person on the line. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Wyman Armstrong.
Hi there. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good.
And do you have any telltale signs as far as rape and molestation in children, adults, any type of point of view on this subject?
I'm just listening right now.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for tuning in. So resuming back from a few things that we covered last week, we covered that a lot of the telltale signs and a lot of the different people that are involved in a lot of these molestations can be in your church, or it could be your school teachers. And there have been many cases. There was actually an article from one of my former elementary school. I'm not going to name the name of it, but a teacher was arrested for sexually assaulting multiple children in his class. And it's just crazy. The fact that, why do you think that a lot of these people, adults and teenagers as well, it has happened, attacking children, especially in public places like this, such as school. Latrice, what do you think?
I think the bullying, because of the behavior problems at home, so they frustrated, so they go in and they bully other kids.
Okay, that's true. But with the adults, like, it's just crazy. How do you feel about the adults taking advantage of the kids in this way, especially being a teacher? And that's someone who you look up to or you look for help, or if they're being bullied or looking just seeking out advice from that person. Why do you think that these cases have happened a lot with teachers?
Probably they've been abused or, you know, sexually molested or something like that. Maybe something happened to them.
But that's very true. In a lot of the cases, they say that if someone has received a certain experience in their life, or it becomes a pattern, and whatever seeking revenge or seeking validation or a common habit, because it takes a month to break a habit and to form a new one. So if this is something that you've been doing for a long time, then evidently you're going to act it out in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's true. Another case that I've seen was the parents themselves, like mothers doing this to their children. The sex trafficking is a huge thing as far as, like, children who are coming up missing and getting into sex trafficking and being raped and molested basically on a daily basis. I was watching earlier the Steve Wilkos show. There was this young girl. She was a victim of sex trafficking, and she reached out to a friend of hers, and unfortunately she stayed with him overnight, and he sexually abused her in her sleep. Thank goodness he was, of course, arrested for the case. But just the fact that people go through these types of things, it's crazy. And you could see the fear in her eyes, just her bodily behavior. A lot of times you can see that people are very timid, or they shake, or they can't look you in the eye when they have a conversation. It's sad. It definitely is.
Absolutely. Very sad.
And how do you feel about that, Latrice? Like, if you knew someone, or if you had experienced it yourself, what would you do as far as reaching out to them and trying to get them help or rehabilitation?
Do research, mentors, psychologists, church psychologists, research to, you know, give them the help that they need.
Right, most definitely. And as far as percentages are concerned, just doing a little bit more research, 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 20 boys are victims of sexual abuse. And studies show that 20% of adult females and 5 to 10% of male adults have recalled a childhood sexual abuse or sexual abuse incident. And it's just crazy how they have all these most recent statistics as far as child abuse. And, of course, 28% of the U.S. youth from 14 to 17 have been sexually victimized. 3 in 4 adolescents who have been sexually assaulted were victimized by someone they knew very well. And a study shows that even back in 1986, that 63% of women who were suffering from sexual abuse by a family member reported a rape or attempted rape after the age of 14, which is absolutely crazy. And even with these people, and it's not just sexual abuse and molestation of children, young adolescents, and adults, period. It's a lot of diseases going around right now. And it's just crazy, honestly. Have you heard about the HPV virus and HIV and AIDS, Latrice?
Yes.
And what are some things that you have heard from a lot of these cases? Like, have you heard any side effects you can tell the listeners as far as that's concerned?
Side effects, rashes. All over the body, constant rashes. I did some research on that. Breakouts in other areas.
All right. The rashes that the is a telltale sign, actually. And, of course, you know, because it's a virus or it's an infection, usually a lot of times with most viruses or infections, they start out with, as you said, a rash in the body. And then, of course, your doctors or your physical physicians can go forward into further research to see what exactly this is. So specifically, which is one of the highest cases right now from sexual abuse and just retracting it from someone overall, HPV, which is human papillomavirus. It's a sexually transmitted disease, and 79 million Americans, most likely in their late teens to early 20s, are infected with HPV. And it's infected, of course, sexually, but it can also be transmitted just in physical touching, like, say, kissing, things of that sort. And it's crazy how a lot of these people nowadays have the viruses and then they don't tell you. Well, how do you feel about that? I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it really is crazy. I think, you know, people should, you know, be, aware, you know, if you sick, you got a virus, you know, you shouldn't touch anyone.
Exactly. Very, very true. And HPV also causes a lot of cancer, cervical cancer specifically. And also it could cause cancer to the back of the throat, tongues, tonsils. It's absolutely crazy. Oh, my goodness. And statistics say, as I'm doing research even more now, 12 million new cases of STDs and other HIV in adolescents 15 to 19 have been reported as some of the highest reports of gonorrhea and chlamydia. Now, thankfully, some of these diseases are able to be cured with medication over a long period of time, but a lot of the times these cases aren't curable, and of course they give you medication for surviving or continuing to get through the actual trial and tribulation of having the disease, but it's not going to be cured. You're living with it with the rest of your life. So, but the thing is, a crazy thing is that the money really isn't in the cure. Well, it's more so in the prevention methods. Would you not agree? Like, honestly, the highest paying, one of the most highest paying industries right now is the medicinal industry or the medical industry and pharmaceutical industries. Like, a lot of these medicines, you have to take one to prevent another disease, and then you have to take another to prevent another disease. Or you have to take this because it affects this, and then you have to take another medicine because it can't coincide with another medication that you're taking. It's just absolutely crazy. I don't understand it. Have you ever had a case where you had multiple medications that that you had to take for just one specific cause, and they wind up giving you more medication, Latrice?
No.
No. Well, you're one of the lucky ones, because my mother specifically, God rest her soul, she had a stent in her heart. Thank God she didn't have any diseases or any type of anything, but there were some medications that she had to take or trade out and coincide, because she had to take blood pressure medications and cholesterol medications and medication for her diabetes. So it's just crazy how medications coincide with the health industry, and also just us having awareness with our bodies. And another thing, cleanliness and self-love. As far as even after the case of a molestation, what are some ways that you take care of yourself, Latrice?
Meditation. Read your Bible. I read my Bible every morning. Listen to gospel music. Bathe in ointment oils. It relaxes the body, de-stress the body. Oil burners, incense.
Same here. I am definitely a lover of essential oils. Absolutely. Lemongrass is a great oil for disinfecting and energizing and cleansing a space. Lemon is great for energy and refreshing your body. Same for grapefruit oil. There's a couple, like frankincense. I always pronounce it like frankincense. I've been pronouncing it for the longest of time incorrectly. But frankincense oil is great for cleansing a space. Strawberry oil is really good, and that's kind of rare. Lavender, of course, is for relaxation and also aids in sleep. But taking care of yourself is so key. Loving yourself first before anything else is incredibly important. Some of the things I do, I love a good bubble bath. So I love my Epsom salts. I love my bath bombs. I love lighting candles. And like you said, burning oils and incense. It's fantastic. So taking time for yourself is incredibly important, especially when dealing with such hectic situations like these. And then it's also physical abuse too, not just molestation and rape on a sexual standpoint. A lot of people are being mentally abused, and it's a psychological warfare as far as being in an abusive relationship or things of that sort. Would you like to chime in on that?
Yeah, for something like that, I will, I like to read, books like Joyce Meyer's. I have a book called Better Feel in the Mind, because we do go through spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Mm-hmm. And like I said, sex is spiritual. I said this in the last show. It's an exchange of your spirit with somebody else's. And especially if you're receiving such negativity in the midst of that situation and act, it takes a toll over you. It ultimately does. It just takes a complete toll over your body, over your mind. As I said, it's a psychological warfare. And it's crazy. And what would you say for those of you guys, I don't know what denominations or spirituality you have, a higher power, God, Muhammad, Yahweh, whatever your belief may be, but for those of us here in the studio tonight, Latrice, what are some anchor scriptures that you have whenever you're down and out or you're feeling distressed?
I like to read Psalms 23.
And can you quote that for us, Psalms 23?
Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Okay. Yeah, same here. That's a really, really good one. And for me especially, I like to go for Joshua 1:1-10. Just paraphrasing it, be strong, have courage, and leave those things that no longer serve you behind. So having an anchor as far as a religious standpoint is very, very important. Especially, or even getting into groups, go to outreach groups and speak about your problems, speak about your experiences. Even though you were a victim, you do not have to stay in that victimized box. You can be a voice for the girl who is being abused at home and doesn't know how to talk about it. You can be a voice for yourself and even inspire others, whatever type of crazy warfare or abuse or anything that you're going through. You can be a beacon of hope for other people. So if you are out there and you want to hop on the line and speak your truth, most definitely dial that line 323-642-1569. And we're going to get into that in a few minutes. I'm actually going to take a break and play a song for a minute. And something that we touched on last week was, and I know that I said that religion is very, very good to have as an anchor for when you're going through such hard times. But a lot of cases, again, some of our leaders in the church are causing a lot of these issues as well. So let's talk about that in a few minutes. Dial that hotline, 323-642-1569. You're tuned into Mind-Blowing Decisions, where we're covering love, life, and relationships, the telltale signs of rape and molestation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Had a little bit too much of Hennessy. Just gonna tell y'all how I feel. Look.
You so precious when you smile. Yeah. Hit it from the back and drive you wild. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Girl, I lose myself up in those eyes. I just have to let you know you're hands on your body, I don't want.
happy you're alive. Yeah. Swear to God I'm down. If you down, all you got is things right. Yeah. Girl, anything I could do just to make you feel alright. Oh, I just had to let you know you're mine. Running circles around my mind. Even when it's rainy, all you ever do is shine. You on fire, you a star just like Mariah. Man, it's feeling incredible, I'll turn you to a bride. You're mine. Hands on your body, I don't wanna waste your night. Feels like forever, even if forever tonight. Just stay with me, waste this night away with me. You're mine. I can look away, I just gotta say.
All right, everyone, we are back in the studio, and we are back with mind-blowing decisions, love, life, and relationships, telltale signs of rape and molestation. So, Latrice, just to go over a little bit about the church and your experience as a whole, what was it like for you growing up in a church, and what denomination were you guys?
Apostolic. And it was, you know, a learning experience. I come from a really good church background. My dad, he was a deacon and minister before he passed. My mom, she's a Christian as well. She goes to church and Bible study. And, you know, I was involved, like, in youth choir, summer programs, you know, job programs for teens, kids, picnics. So pretty good experience.
Okay, and for those of you guys who are like me, currently I'm non-denominational, but I grew up in a Baptist church, a very big Baptist background as far as like praise and worship was everything. The deacons and the pastor and the first lady and his children were always held to a high regard. There was the choir members, there was the musicians, and of course there was the events and holding yourself to a higher standard as far as wardrobe is concerned. And a lot of the times, many cases in churches, it has become more so about an image more than anything else. It's no longer about the word. You see pastors with Mercedes Benzes and Rolls Royces, and they're coming in with brand new Gucci outfits, and it's crazy. But not only just that, a large percentage of the Catholic Church, and not to make any hazes or make anybody uncomfortable, but it has happened. There's actually a couple of stories about a Catholic sexual abuse scandal, and found that about 64% of those thought priests have seen and experienced priests frequently abusing children. And of course, a lot of people think that it's a stigma and things of that sort, but it actually has happened, and it's crazy. And some have been caught, some haven't, and even in Hollywood, these sexual abuse cases have been coming up like crazy. Of course, you know, there's the whole thing with Bill Cosby. We're not even going to bring that up, but it's just disgraceful. Another case who has been huge in the media's eye is Harvey Weinstein. Now, I don't know if you, as far as our listeners are concerned, or any of my ladies on the line here have heard of Harvey Weinstein, but he was huge, and there has been multiple uncoverings of his sexual abuse allegations that over dozens of women since early 2017 have had encounters with Harvey Weinstein as far as sexual abuse, rape, and sexual assault for over more than 30 years. And it's crazy. More than 80 women in the film industry have, of course, you say it's alleged or it's an accused until proven otherwise, Weinstein of such acts. Of course, he denied them, but there have been multiple cases, not just women, but men also, who have said that Weinstein has approached them. And it's sad. Like, honestly, it's really sad, the fact that a lot of these cases are happening, and some people just do it for the money, or some people do it for the fame or to get a position. Even in corporate, it's huge in corporate. A lot of people are being molested and sexually assaulted in the corporate world just to receive a higher paying job or receive a higher paying position, but they're expected to keep their mouth shut, or else, of course, they receive paperwork or things of that sort and proof that it happened and that they consented to it, but they really didn't want to, because it's overall an emotional thing. How do you feel, and have you ever seen or heard about that happening in corporate America, or even in the work field, period, Latrice?
I think it's a power thing, you know, power hungry, you know. Like people in the big world, like in the corporate offices, Hollywood, you know, they want power.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do different things that, you know, that's not tolerated, so they can get power. That, you know, like, right, you know, forcing yourself on somebody, well, if they consent, that you showing that you got power.
Mhm. That's true. That's very, very true. It's just crazy. Again, these are patterns of people who have been abused themselves, whether it's mentally or verbally abused or sexually assaulted. Abuse is abuse at the end of the day. And a lot of times these bosses or these head honchos, they're treating their employees like crap, because ultimately it starts in the home. Let's just be honest. It starts with the people that you see on a daily basis in your environment, whether it's your parents, your grandparents, your uncles, your cousins, your brothers. Children are sponges. And I think that's one of the main reasons why attackers go after children, because they're sponges. They're so receptive to receiving or doing anything. And, of course, they say, if you shouldn't say anything, or I'll do this, that, and the third. And it causes fear. It strikes fear. And it's a, like you said, it's a power move. And the same thing goes for the corporate world. If you don't do this, that, and the third, I'll take away your position, or I'll fire you, or I'll cut your pay. Or it's just, it's sad. It really is. And what are some instances that you've seen as far as these power plays, not just in the workplace, but overall? How have you seen it, Patrice?
I have seen, this is what I can say, way back, like when I was like 18 years old, and I was working for this fundraiser place, right? And it was a young lady that was applying for a position, and she was sexually harassed about it. Like, if she wanted this, she would have to have sex. And I think it's terrible.
It is. And a new survey actually finds, because I'm just bringing more data and percentages in just to bring it into perspective. A new survey finds that 81% of women have experienced sexual harassment in the workplace. Of course, you know about the whole Me Too movement. And for those of us that don't know what Me Too is, look it up. It's a hashtag. But the whole Me Too movement was ultimately about sexual harassment or sexual assault victims, and just saying that it has happened too many too times, and it's even happened to me too, for those of us who aren't familiar. And it's sad and it's crazy, but a lot of times women in the workplace suffer from these. Just to play devil's advocate here, a lot of times women suffer in the workplace, and even in just in general in social circles, from movements like this, because of course, you know, they're afraid of, oh, is it going to be another Me Too case? Oh, should I even talk to her, offer her this position, or even give her a hug, or else it's going to be like another sexual assault case? And that's really what it's like in every arena, because a lot of the times the men that aren't doing these things, they're in fear. And it's just sad, honestly. How do you, are you familiar with the Me Too movement?
Yes, I am familiar with the Me Too movement. I really am. And I'm glad that they finally doing something about it and women's finally coming forward, you know, what they had went through, because they probably was threatened.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they kept quiet for so long.
Very true. And more than 3 out of 4 women have been verbally harassed. Verbal harassment is 77%. For men, harassed is 34%. Groping is 51%. Cybersexual harassment is 41%. Being followed overall or being stalked is at 34%. Unwanted flashing, like your boss unbuttoning himself in front of you, it's actually at 30%, and then sexual assault is 27%. Now, for men, it's completely different, 34%, 17%, 22%. And my thing is, why is it so different for men than it is for women? I guess, why do you feel like it's so different as far as the spectrum for men versus women, Latrice?
Because we live in a man's world, and we have to constantly got to prove ourselves that we are worthy of certain positions and certain jobs, or we have to work even harder than a man.
That's true, but at the same time, is it because we're afraid? Is it because we as women have experienced this so much and seen it so much? And not to say that we're angels, because this like I said, it happens to men too, but it doesn't happen as often to women, often to men as it does to women. 77% of women have had verbal sexual harassment. It's just crazy to me, and 38%. Have actually experienced the sexual harassment in the workplace, and some of them said that they even experienced it at their residence of home. So it could happen with your boss. It could happen with, like we said, a lot of times the consent with the husband, and yes, he's your husband, and so on and so forth. But if you say no, that means no. And ultimately, it becomes rape or sexual assault. Period. Like we there's so much power in the word no. let's
absolutely
be honest. And even when we say no, here's another prime example. There have been so many cases of women rejecting men's approaching them as far as trying to get their number, coming on to them, or flirting, and it ultimately results in death. I can't tell you. There was this one young woman. This guy was trying to get her number in a fast food restaurant, and it was all over the news now. And he shot her to death because she didn't want to give him her phone number. I'm scared, personally.
That's terrible.
I'm like, when somebody comes up to me, or a guy comes up to me, or whomever, I'm nervous for myself, because I don't know what kind of bag they're going to come out of. Am I going to be shot to death? And another thing is having protection, but sometimes even having protection does not stop a person from continuously picking at you and still trying to get your number. How would you protect your salary?
Absolutely, yeah. I don't even have an answer for that, you know, because we live in a world where people are carrying weapons in their pockets, you know. I could be walking down the street minding my own business, and that person might bring out a weapon. So how am I going to protect myself?
Exactly, and I think that license to carry is incredibly important. Whether it's just a pistol or a taser or even pepper spray, having some type of protection is incredibly important. There's another case where a young lady went to a grocery store, and he tried to give her some type of a form of unrequested or unwarranted affection, just to say that. And, of course, he was arrested for shooting that woman. He killed her. eventually for wanting the relationship, and she still turned him down. There was a case where another young woman who was murdered by three men who she declined their further flirting, and she was killed. And some of these girls are actually young too. I've seen a couple of cases where she was six. There were some 16-year-old young women, 14-year-old young women who have been brutally just battered and badgered completely because of saying no. Lakia Walker, she was 22 years old. She was 8 weeks pregnant, and a stranger just walked up to her. And because she didn't say thank you for him opening her door, he threw hot coffee in her face, punched her repeatedly in the stomach and throat and neck, and threatened to kill her child personally. It's got to stop, because it's just it's really scary now. For me personally, I'm scared to have a daughter because I don't know what type of bag her teachers are going to come out of, her boss, just somebody on the street. It's scary. And Latrice, do you have any daughters?
Yes, I do. I have two. I have two daughters. 22. And 17.
And have you had the talk with them as far as defending themselves and just ultimately about these crazy sexual abuse cases and violence?
Yes, my oldest daughter, she goes out with her friends a lot, and she carries mace in her purse. You want to protect yourself, you never know. And a year ago, she was in a crossfire and a drive-by shooting in Compton.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm glad that she's okay, right? She's okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank goodness. One more case before we get into some more music and cutting to a break here. Raylan Vincent, she was 22 years old in California. She was walking home from her boyfriend's house on Saturday when an unknown man pulled up to her in a car. He was catcalling, and when she didn't respond, he stopped the car, punched her in the face, and knocked her to the ground, breaking her jaw. Again, abuse. It's pathetic, I mean, honestly. Another young lady, 20 years old, Andrea Farrington, she turned down a security guard at the mall, and he left notes on her car expressing his interest, but before her 21st birthday, he shot her three times in the back while she was at work. For just saying no. I mean, it's ultimately got to stop, this physical abuse, the mental, emotional, psychological. It's ultimately got to stop, and we've got to find ways to resolve it. And of course, because like you said, we are in a man's world, and it's kind of sad and pitiful actually to get to this point where saying no is just not enough. Like, I remember a point in time where if you said no, all they did was call you out your name and go about their business. I mean, honestly. Like, it was, hey, shorty, how you doing? And I get out of my face. Oh, you wasn't that cute, no way. And they went about their business. Now it's just, oh, I'll shoot you in the face because you don't want to date me. Like, what? These are some serious issues. And again, like I said, it starts in the home. I think that a lot of these cases, these young men didn't receive enough love or affection or attention from their mothers.
Abandonment
issues. And when they're seeking externally from other young women to receive that love and they have that rejection, ultimately they're taking out all of their anger that they had towards their female figure in their life that they didn't receive and attacking another woman because it's just like, oh, they didn't love me, now you won't love me, so I'll get rid of you the way I wanted to get rid of her, or I did, a lot of cases. So let's take a break for a moment and get into a little bit more detail about this and also lighten up the mood a little bit and speak a little bit about some things and some topics in our lives just to ease out of this conversation. Of course, it's a very important topic. Let's get into a little bit of music, and we'll be right back with Mind-Blowing Decisions, Love, Life, and Relationships, the Telltale Signs of Rape and Molestation, and we'll close out on a lighter note. You're tuned in to Thesis of Success Radio 101. F
M.
All right, we are back with mind-blowing decisions. So, leaving out on the lighter note, we've got 15 minutes till we close. Latrice, I have an interesting topic that we're going to close out with. Who do you think cheat more, men or women, and why do you think of this specific percentage is true?
I think men cheat more than women. I think men have commitment issues. They can't, you know, be able to commit themselves to one woman, you know. And probably, you know, they didn't probably get, you know, love when they was growing up in a home, or abandonment issues, or, you know, either other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and why do you feel women are least likely to cheat?
See, a woman, she wants to be in a committed relationship. She desires, you know, to get married, have children. She wants unity, a foundation.
Okay. Now that's very accurate, but just to play devil's advocate here. Me personally, I think that it can go hand in hand. Of course, you know, guys, having multiple women at a certain at different times, and a lot of times the women just accept the fact that they are cheating or have multiple women, and even when they're married they have mistresses or polygamy, and there's so much stuff to go into. But I do believe that it's an equal playing field. It's just based on the person, because women, believe it or not, women rule the world. let's just put that out there, put that stamp. Women rule the world, honestly. We don't act like it all the time, but we do. And a lot of the times we know how to play the game, really. I mean, come on, we invented the game. So really and truly, it's based on the person. I believe that women can be just as shiesty as men can. It's really based on the person. A woman can maintain two or three different relationships, and they may never even know, and maybe reel it down to one person and marry that person. And it's nothing wrong with, I'm not saying that it's anything wrong with openly dating, but there's a difference when, like I said last week, when you're sleeping with multiple people, and you're dating multiple people. Like, it's a difference if you're just sleeping with one person, and then you're not sleeping with someone at all, and you're just openly dating. And another thing is making sure that these people are aware of the fact that you are openly dating, because we don't want to send mixed signals, and this goes for men too. A lot of the times you are sending mixed signals. You are making a woman think that you want a committed relationship with that specific person, but then you turn around and you wind up talking to somebody else, not explaining, I am openly dating and I'm looking at my options right now. And women, we do that too. We are at fault with that as well. Having someone in our possession or emotionally involved with a person, and we lead them on thinking that it's exclusive and we're really just openly dating. Now, as I said before, another thing as far as in this arena as well, Latrice, how do you feel about quote unquote open relationships?
When I think about open relationships, if you're going to be dating multiple people, I think that you should let people know that you're openly dating, so you don't be, especially if you're sexually involved with them, that you won't be passing germs.
but just to be a little bit more specific as far as like what the definition is of open dating is right now. Open dating basically means that you're in a relationship and you're, like you said, you're both open to you guys dating other people and coming back together on one accord, but ultimately choosing that and communicating that if you have the desire to be with this one person and not be with you, then you have no choice other than to agree upon that. I've seen, there's a lot of open marriages. Some of them call them swingers. Some of them call them different things. And the fact that me personally, I am a one man woman. Like, I am definitely for being with one person. Right now, of course, I'm in my 20s, and of course, I'm openly dating, but I'm making it known that I'm not just going to be sleeping around with any and everybody because you're cute or you got a little change in your pocket. That's not my stilo. That's not who I am. But if I'm interested in you, I want to lock it down and be serious and take the time out to be with that person. Are you a one person type of a woman, or are you openly dating right now, Latrice?
No, I'm not openly dating at this time.
Okay. And have you ever dealt with someone who was considering an open relationship or openly dating?
I can say I was in past relationships. They had me thinking that I was the only one, and they was out there being open with everybody else.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, people have to let, and it's on both spectrums. It's on men and it's on women. We have to communicate and let people know before they catch feelings. Hey, you are not the only one I'm talking to, but if you want to make the effort to make yourself the only one, then do that thing. I mean, honestly. I'm old school. You're supposed to be whining and dining, pulling out chairs, opening doors. That's just me. I don't know what these new kids do nowadays, but from what I was taught, you're supposed to be a gentleman first and foremost before anything else. What are some key things that you look for as far as a man to do on a first date?
open car doors, you know, take me somewhere that that's nice, like, you know, to the movies or to a nice restaurant. I'm not going to your house to go kick it. I don't know you like that.
Yes. Yes. Say it again for the people in the back. Honestly, I don't know why these younger men specifically think that Netflix and chill is a date. No.
That is not a date.
It should never be the first date. Of course, there's nothing wrong with having at-home dates, ordering food, or cooking together and watching a couple of movies once you're in the relationship. But when you're in the beginning stages, no. Take me out. Let's go to the park. Have a picnic. Do some. I haven't seen a couple do a picnic in I don't know how long, honestly. Like, what's wrong with – where is the romanticism nowadays? I love a romantic person, and I love being a softie with somebody else. What's some things that you do for your man, Latrice, as far as bringing the romance back in?
Well, I like oldies, music, kind of like dinners, you know, with the candles, rose petals, you know, the whole nine.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And I think that at least once or twice in your in the beginning of the relationship or in the beginning of the dating, even if it's every 2 weeks or once a month, send the girl flowers. What's wrong with that? Me personally, I'm a little unorthodox. I love lavender, and I love like orthopedic plants like aloe vera and eucalyptus, and of course I love my roses because I make rose water, of course. but there's nothing wrong with being romantic. I love being sent flowers. I love chocolate. I love food. That's another thing. Men, get back in the kitchen. There is nothing sexier than a man being in the kitchen. Come on now.
Absolutely.
Stop being
lazy.
Come on. Stop being lazy, ordering Chinese food and ordering pizza because you don't know how to look at a simple recipe. And even offer to help out. Can I chop up some vegetables for you? Do you want me to thaw something out? Can I watch the skillet while you sit down and get off your food? Little things, you guys. But honestly, truly, that's pretty much it for me. What about you, Latrice? What are some things that you think that men should do to be a little bit more attentive in the relationship?
I think they need to communicate a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, show that you're interested. You know, you got these guys, they try to play macho, and, you know, they don't, you know, express their real feelings. I like a man that expresses his feelings.
Very, very true. And it's okay to cry, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. I highly respect a man who is vulnerable enough with me to speak on his emotions and cry. It's nothing wrong with crying. Honestly, I don't know why people think that, me in particular, too. I used to think this, that crying makes you look weak or makes you look spineless or just an emotional wreck. It's nothing wrong with being vulnerable, because that's one of the most important things in a relationship, vulnerability and, like you said, communication. And hugs. I'm a hugger, so I love to cuddle. I love to hug. giving somebody a big hug after an argument or a long day is so, so important. But looks like we're wrapping up a little bit on time here. We're going to get into some more music for closing out. It's Mind-Blowing Decisions. Latrice, would you like to say any more advice before we close out?
Yeah, sure. If you in a relationship or you dating someone and you're not sure where you at with this person, reach out and see where it's at before you get in too deep.
Very true. And even if you're lost in the midst of a relationship, don't quit before it gets good. Like you said, the key thing is communication. If you're having a rough patch, talk about it. Seriously.
But make sure you tune in every Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Mind-Blowing Decisions, where we talk about love, life, and relationships. Hopefully a little bit more of our panel will be back into the studio next week's show. But I thank you guys so much. Thank you, Latrice, for being in here. And make sure you dial that hotline, 323-642-1569. Good night, everybody. Say good night, Latrice.
Good night.
I was getting more like baby.